Good morning, y'all.
It's good to be with you. And this interesting point of the year, right, between Christmas and New Year's, where we're looking back and remembering the last year and all that God's done. And we start maybe tomorrow or Tuesday, you start kind of shifting to look forward to what he's going to do or what your life will look like in 2025. Maybe you start setting some resolutions for yourself. This is how it's going to be. But it's good to have that time, like Pastor said, to look backwards and to remember and to see, all right, what has happened? Where have I been? What does my life look like? And then I can start to say, all right, what do I want it to look like? What needs to change? Where do I need to go? And as you look back, I don't know, maybe you see some difficult moments, some hard parts of the last year, some spots where at this time a year ago you said, this is where I want to be, and I didn't quite get there. Like the year a few years ago where I did the Gold's Gym membership where it's like 3 months for 10 cents or something like that, right? And that was great because I went once, and so that 10 cents really worked out. 3 years later when I looked at the credit card statement and realized I was still paying for it, that was a painful moment. We look at where we're going and say, all right, how do we want to get there? And this week is just a really good time to see where are we going, to take stock and say, am I moving in the right direction? Because you're moving in a direction. You are becoming somebody. You are walking out your future every day. And so we have to do that with some thought. And so for that, I want to look today in Luke chapter 2 at how we can do that well. We've spent some time in Luke 2 leading up to the Christmas season, as that's the birth of Jesus in there. We were there Christmas Eve even, but we're going to go a little bit later, starting in verse 41. And we're going to look at just the one kind of middle story for Jesus' life. You have the Christmas stories earlier in Luke 2, starting verse 41. Your header probably says, the boy Jesus at the temple. If your Bible's like mine, the boy Jesus at the temple, the one story of Jesus kind of coming of age, of Jesus as a younger child. Before we get to Luke 3 and on, the majority of the Gospels, Jesus in his ministry time, 30 years and so in his age then. So we have this one story that I think we can see some good pieces for us to say, how do I set my year? And so I want to jump in with this. We'll read a little bit about, just to get the context of where they're at. In verse 41, every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. So this is not just them. This is the biggest festival in Israel, in Jewish culture. Every year in the spring, everybody comes together. They travel from far and wide, from all their towns to Jerusalem to worship God for the Passover, to commemorate and remember this time when at the end of the 10 plagues, where God frees his people, the Israelites, from slavery from Egypt, and he passes over. They apply the blood of the lamb around their doorposts, and he passes over them and saves them. So they gather together to celebrate this week-long festival. And so they go up. This is something Jesus' family does every year. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day, and then they began to look for him among their relatives and friends. If this is a trip that virtually the entire country makes into Jerusalem, when they are leaving, when they are going home, this is not just like a short little single file line. This is everybody's leaving the city. Everybody's heading out. And so their assumption is Jesus is with the cousins. He's with the friends. We're going. We saw him when we were leaving. We told him we were leaving. He's with us. We're going together. We're going to make it there. It's all right. We've made it. We've traveled for an entire day. Set up camp. Let's stop because they're heading home to Nazareth. It's more than a day's walk. And they set up camp and they go to get Jesus to come stay with them. But he's not there. Can't imagine this moment of dread and panic. And I'm sure they spend the rest of that night, can't travel back in the dark, it's not safe. I'm sure they spend the rest of that night looking for him to no avail. So verse 45, when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. One day's walk there, another day's walk back. And so then on verse 46, after 3 days, on the third day, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." They know they've needed to find him, right? They don't not just looking to leave the 12-year-old boy on his own. "We've been anxiously searching for you." And there's so much in Jesus' response here in verse 49. He says, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? Didn't you know where I needed to be, where I would be? Didn't you know, Mom, Dad, this is where I had to be?" I love this, that Jesus was raised with this expectation from his parents, from Mary and Joseph, from a young age, that there is a future for you, Jesus. We love you, we care for you, but you are God's son. And you're going to go far. You're going to do more. There is more to your life than just sitting around and playing video games with your friends, Jesus. Amen. Or something like that. Something like that. You put up the iPhone, go outside. They raise him with this expectation that God has something for you. Now, I know your kids are perfect little angels. And if you squint, they could appear to be the Son of God. But maybe they're not quite that. But parents, you can still raise them with this expectation that God is going to do things in your life and through you that you need, son, daughter. You need to know that there is more to life than just what everyone else around you is doing. And Jesus has this expectation that there is more to do than just come to the festival for a week and go home. That I need to be somewhere specific. That I need to be with someone specific. And I think for us, as we kind of look ahead to this year, this might be something to key in on here for you, to say, I have an expectation. I have a calling. I have somewhere I need to be, and more specifically, someone that I need to be with. Jesus says, "Didn't you know I had to be? I had no choice. I was compelled. This is where I needed to be, but I had to be in my Father's house. I had to be," you could translate it, "with my Father." There's a lot of different ways that the Greek for this verse can be translated. I had to be with my Father. I had to be with, not just in a place, not just doing something, not just showing up, not just getting my attendance card checked. I had to be with my Father. Jesus knows who his Father is. And I know for many of you, you know who your Father is, but maybe sometimes we need a reminder. We need a reset. We need to just kind of change the script a little bit, because life has a way of just kind of coming around, of getting us into the routine, of getting us to walk things out, and so we just do what the next thing is, what the next step is, what the next piece of the puzzle is. Tomorrow is Monday, so I'm going to wake up, and I'm going to go to work, and I'm going to accomplish the things at work that I have to do, and then I'm going to swing by the grocery store on the way home because there's a list of things that I need to get so that we can have dinner, and then maybe we'll hang out together a little bit as a family. Maybe we'll watch a little bit of a football game, and then we'll go to bed, and we'll repeat. And we just can easily shift into this going through the motions kind of piece. But Jesus says, that's not enough for me. He says, "Didn't you know I had to be with my Father?" Not just God overall, but with my Father. A personal, close relationship that Jesus, at the age of 12, already knows this is what's going to define my future. that I would be with my Father, that I would see him personally at work in my life. And I will hit on this for a while this morning to say that he needs to be your Father, personally involved, that he wants to be intimately in the details of your life, not just kind of around your life, not just the God that you worship on Sundays occasionally, but that he wants to be your Father because he loves you deeply. He cares for you deeply, and he sees each moment of your life. So Jesus knows, I've got to be with my Father. Now, it depends on how you were raised. You might have some negative connotations there with that phrase. Maybe your father wasn't a good father. Maybe he wasn't around. Maybe you don't know. Maybe he didn't invest in your life. Maybe he didn't pour into you. And so this phrase can become kind of difficult for some. And I wish I had known my father, that I wish I had had a father who cared for me, who loved me, who raised me, who blessed me. And let me tell you, even though you might not have a good physical father, you still have a spiritual father who wants to be with you dearly. That he sees you and he cares for you and he loves you. Now there is a justice side to God that he calls us to live a certain way. But more importantly than that, I want you to see this morning how much he loves you. That he cares for you. That when you are when he is your father, that means that you are his son. You are his daughter. And you get access to all the graces that he has for you. To all the love that he has for you. To all the peace that he would want to offer you in your life. When I turned 16... I was given a car. It's kind of a standard thing, right? You get your license, parents, they were very kind, they gave me a car, which I was super appreciative of. It was a mixed deal because what they did was they gave me the old car and they went and bought a new car, but it was their money, so I figured it was fair. I figured that was okay. Also, if I'm honest, the car was a convertible Mustang. So not that bad of a deal. Not that bad of a deal. Thank you, Mom. I appreciate that. Not that bad of a deal. This is 2003. I'll figure out when I was born to do some math really quick. 2003, 2004, they gave me this vehicle, and side note for you guys, because you need a little context, some of our students. Cars back then, they didn't have the cameras in them to, like, see behind you. So it wasn't more than probably 2 weeks that I backed that sucker into a different car. I remember the night. Our house was always, like, the hangout house, the party house. Everybody always came to our house, our friends, my brother and I. We're like a year and a half apart, so we've grown up. We've always had very similar friend groups because we're all the same age. And so this particular night, the whole group was over at our house, and I had to run out for something. I don't remember what, but I was going out to grab something to come back. And so I was in a rush because I wanted to be with my friends. And if you don't have a camera, right, you have to turn and look behind you before you back up. Or at least that's what you should do. I didn't do that. And you think there's a car right behind me. No, there wasn't. It was clear in the driveway. Somehow I managed to hit the car in the spot next to me and behind me. And I didn't just hit it a little bit. I wasn't smart enough to hit the brake pedal when I felt the pressure. For some reason, I just kept driving straight along the side of my friend's dad's brand new pickup truck. And that's not a thing you can just hide. Those paint colors were swapped, and the damage, it was clear. And I remember getting out of the car and the understanding. Siri, I know, she doesn't know what's going on always. I got out of the car, that's where I was. Got out of the car, and I knew I had to go talk to my parents. I didn't know how car insurance worked. I didn't know if I had car insurance. I didn't know what that meant. I just knew my parents would know what to do. And so I went into their room because they're hiding because there's 20 high schoolers in the house, and they're like, we're barricaded in here. And I knocked, and I opened the door, and I didn't make two steps in before I broke, crying in fear. What's about to happen? What's the response going to be? How are they going to look at me? What are they going to do to me? What's the punishment going to be? The car, obviously, it's gone. It's done. I'm not getting that back. I blew that chance. Got it. Blew it immediately. And I'm going to be, just tell me how long I'm grounded. Just tell me how much this is going to cost me. Tell me how difficult this is going to be. And it took them a few minutes to get me to calm down enough to just say, what happened? I'm sure in their mind, I had just killed a person or something. The way that I was acting, because I had all of these fears, all of these emotions of how are my parents going to respond? And they walked outside, and they looked at the damage, and they called my friend's dad, and he came over, and they looked at the damage, and I never forget, my parents looked at me and said, we can take care of this. We can pay this bill. We can fix this problem that you created. And they smiled at me. And they gave me grace. They gave me love in a time where I was consumed with fear and anxiety. And I don't know how I'm going to get through this. My parents looked at me and said, we've got you. We'll get you through. We'll make this work. And I don't know how you're facing this upcoming year or how you're looking back on this last year, but I would bet there are points where there is fears and anxieties that want to rule over you and say, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. You've failed. You've blown it. It's going to be costly. But you have a father who looks at you and says, you have, but I can pay that bill. I can get you through that problem. I can pay the price. I have already paid the price for your failures, for your shortcomings. And when you come up to those moments again next year, next month, whatever it may be, he says, I've got you. This is who Jesus goes after. He says, I have got to be with my Father. Why? Because that's his source. That's his life. That's where he finds his hope and his future and his strength. And you and I, we find no other thing than those things with the Lord. We can't find them anywhere else. You can't go looking somewhere else for your strength. It'll become striving. You can't work hard enough to earn good graces from God because you'll never be perfect. You can only come to him in humility as I had to come before my parents and say, God, I have blown it. I have screwed up. But if he's your father, he gives you all the grace that you could ever need. He says, all right, I see you. We're going to fix it. We're going to make some changes. We're going to do things differently. But I've got you. Jesus says, didn't you know I had to be with my father? This relationship that you have access to is the most important relationship you will ever have. It'll change your life because you are moving in a direction. You are growing. You are becoming somebody. Maybe you're moving backwards in life. You are becoming somebody. Whether you try to or not, your life doesn't just sit stagnant. If it sits stagnant, it's moving backwards. And God says, I've got a direction. I've got a plan. I've got a path for you to go. I've got a future for you to walk into. And I want to walk into it as your father. That you don't walk into it alone. That you don't have to try to find him because he's hiding from you. He says, I want to be with you. And Jesus says, didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? I had to be where my father is, or you could translate another way. I had to be about my father's business. That what my father is doing, I am going to do as well. This is who I am. This is who I've created to be, that I have his name. My last name, Williams, comes from my father, comes from my family. And so I bear this name. And so when my parents made the decision to move down to Cape Coral so they could buy a business and kind of make their own schedule, be small business owners, manage their own thing, and be able to take off whenever they wanted, which we learned that's not how small business ownership works. Unfortunately, learned that the hard way. When they bought the fence company, Coast to Coast Fence, in 2002, guess who some of their first employees were? Me and my brother. We got put to work. We joined the family business. You know what they didn't do? They didn't give us a vote. We didn't have a say. They said, you live in our house. You're driving our Mustang. Quit wrecking it and get to work. Here's a shovel. Go dig a hole. They said, you've got business to go about. And so we did. And we moved out of the house as quickly as we could. It's no fun to dig fence holes in Florida in the summer. It's hot out there. It's hot. But we joined the family business. We got put to work. We had a mission to accomplish. We had places to be, things to do, because our family was at work. And as Jesus says, this is my Father, I'm going to be in his business. I'm going to be doing what he's doing. He says that in John 5, after he heals somebody, the Son does whatever he sees the Father doing. He says, and the Son can't do anything that the Father isn't doing. That this is who I am inside. This is who I've created to be, that I'm going to do whatever my Father does. And as we get the benefits of his grace to say, I love you, I'll carry you, I'll walk with you, we get the calling of his name as well to say, there is work to be done. To say, there are steps to be taken, that we don't just sit back, but instead we follow after him. We go after what he's doing. And you know what that means? It means the same thing today that it meant when I was 16 and my parents said, get to work. It means that you lay down your things to go do his things. I did not. There was no confusion in the house. They knew I did not want to dig fence holes. The very first day, they took us out somewhere, I don't know, some ranch out in Babcock or something, and we had to dig fence holes, and I'm like slowly with the shovel trying to stay clean and whatnot. My brother's like elbows deep in the mud mucking out these holes, and I think he did like a lot more than I did. We don't need to get into specifics. And so they put him on the bigger, better crew, and they kind of said, all right, you'll go help a little bit. But he jumped in. He said, I've got this. I'm going to do what my parents have given me to do. It's part of the ownership. Me, not so much. Took a little bit longer to get me there, and I still work in the AC, and I appreciate that. I'm going to continue to do so. But I had a calling as a Williams son, and so do each of us. As God's sons and daughters, to say he calls us to walk out what he's doing. Is God caring for the poor and the needy in our community? Yes, he is. He does that on Thursday nights here at Dinner Church. And so if I want to be part of that, if I want to be in the Father's business, I'm going to be here on Thursdays to care for them alongside him, to be his hands and feet to them. Is God bringing healing physically to those who are in pains, to emotional bondages in prayer at the cross? Yes, every Sunday he is. And so I want to be near that cross because that's what my Father is doing. Is he the one who is worthy of all of my worship and praise and adoration? Absolutely. And so as we gather together on Sundays, I'm saying, I want to worship God. I don't just want to be in the room. I want to celebrate his goodness because this is the business that my Father is in. So I've got some work to do. I've got some pieces to pick up. But what I love in this moment, beyond those things to do, is Jesus says, Mom, why were you searching me? Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? I had to be with my Father. I had to be about my Father's business. What was he doing in that moment before they found him? What did the verses a few verses ago say he was doing? He was sitting. He was asking questions. He was talking with the teachers. He was giving answers. The first thing that he's doing isn't doing things. It's sitting with God. It's getting to know the God who has created you and I. This is the bigger priority, not just doing the things, but being with the God who is active around us. It's easy in faith to get caught up in what I have to do and to miss the God that I was supposed to be doing it for. It's easy to get caught up in the things that need to get done, even in good things, even in faith. You might look at 2025 and say, man, I think I need to read the Bible more. Good. Then download the Cape Vineyard app, sign up for notifications. You'll get a reminder every morning at 8 a.m. to journal, and it'll give you some verses and some points, and they'll relate to Sunday's message. And you can do the things, but the most important thing is not just the check mark on the to-do list. It's that I would connect with the God who wants to speak to me in those moments. It's that I would hear his voice in my life when I'm at my lowest points or when I'm at my greatest moments. As I look ahead to this next year, the goals can't just be, how do I lose weight? How do I save more money? Those are the most common too. How do I do these things to make it look good to God? How do I attend church every weekend so that as I come through the doors, the greeters check me present? Present, because we do every week. We're online where we see your screen names. We don't. We stay open every Sunday so that you can have this spot say, this is where you need to meet with the Lord. That he wants to be with you. And we say, come Holy Spirit as we start because we want his presence here. But he's been waiting for you and I. He's been saying, come be with me. Come be with me. Come be with me. Every moment of every day, this is what he's calling out to you to do. To say, come and be with me. You have a Father who loves you dearly and who chooses to spend all the time he can with you. He wants to be in your life. The story goes that when we got the Sega Genesis, because we didn't get the Super Nintendo in our house, we got the Sega Genesis, that after bedtime, Dad would stay up for 20 minutes almost every night playing the Genesis. Not because Lion King was the best game on it, which it was, but so that the next day he could play it with us and be just a little bit better than us. When they're little, that works. My son's 13, and I try to play a video game with him now, and I've gotten old. I'm like, what button does what, and why am I still staring at the sky? Why does this game start with me jumping out of a plane? And which, I can't keep up with him anymore. That's not part of the point. The point was my dad chose to say, I want to be with you. I'm going to figure out how to do it. And this is what God says in our lives as well. He says, I see you. I want to be with you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be right there. But sometimes to see him, we have to slow down a little bit. We have to stop what we're doing. If it's not all about me, then I have to stop what I'm doing so that I can see where he is. Right? Jesus didn't go home with his parents. He stopped on the trip and said, I'm going to stay in the temple. I'm going to stay where God is so that I can see him, so that I can look for him. Because if you're just running, if you're just doing things, if you're just accomplishing things, if you're just making even good things happen, but you're not slowing down to see God, you're going to miss him. You're not going to hear his voice in your life because he doesn't force his way in. He waits for us where we left him behind. And he says, I'm still here. Amen. I still got you, but you got to come back. You've got to be with me. And Jesus says, all right, I've got to stop. I'm going to listen for him, and then I've got to do what he's doing. I've got to follow him into where he's going. I think you could probably look back on this past year and get a pretty good idea of who you are. There are things that you do, right? You're going to, at some point tonight, you're going to go to sleep. That's physically, that's what you need to do. Tomorrow or the day after, unless you're retired, you're going to get up and you're going to go to work. You need some finances. You need income in your life. And these things that we do, they speak to who we are. Because maybe you just go to work for the 40 so that you can get the payroll that you need and then you can go live your life. But maybe you choose to stay there a lot extra time, a lot longer, and you're there 60 hours or whatever, and you're getting the work done and the paycheck is nice. But what it's saying is that you're working over being with family or friends or whatever else. It's showing your priorities. Maybe your priority is after work every day, you get off, and before you head home, you swing by the bar, and you just have one drink, just got to relax, take the edge off a little bit, and where you are, if you look back, it shows who you are a little bit. Hopefully, you can look back on the past year as Jesus' parents were anxiously searching for him. He said, why were you searching for me? Where did you think I would be? Hopefully, there are good things that you can look back over the past year and say, well, where would I have been found? I was found in my small group every week because I knew I needed to be with the people of the Lord. I knew I needed them to be praying for me. I knew that I needed to be praying for them and caring for them. I knew I needed that. If you look back on your past year, hopefully you can say, yeah, I was at church regularly because I knew that I needed to give my worship back to the Lord. I knew that I needed to give my heart back to him. I knew that I needed to, every week, be repointed towards him and off of my own things. It means that we've got to stop sometimes, that we've got to slow down, that we've got to not just do our own things, but say, all right, I'm going to go to where I can see him. That you could look back on your past year and say, I did spend good amounts of time with the Lord and journaling and quiet time and devotional spaces and hearing his voice speak in to my life because that's who I am. And if these things aren't the same for you, you have a new year here to set a new course, a different kind of way to go. And 1 Peter, as he sends a letter to other believers, in 1 Peter 1:18, he challenges them. He says that you weren't saved just by, you know, fancy things, by gold and silver. You weren't saved out of a empty way of life that you inherited from your ancestors. He says you were saved into something else, and he goes on to talk about it being that it was Jesus' blood that saved them. He says you weren't saved out of, you don't just live this empty way of life. That you don't just need that. That 2025 doesn't just need to be this empty way of life that's just, it's what you've inherited from your ancestors. It's the way that you've always done. It's the same story that it's always been from generations ago, that we just go to work, go home, relax a little bit, and pick up the shovel the next day. That there is more to life for you and I to live in and to walk in, and that starts in our relationship with my Father, as Jesus calls him. There is more. There's a different kind of way to live than just getting the things done, and it's a way of relationship with the God who created you. That he looks at you, and in your best moments and in your worst moments, he smiles at you the same way my parents did out in that driveway years and years ago and says, I can take care of this for you. I can be with you through the difficulties. I will pay the bill for you. And these are the same things that God says to you and I every day. But to get there, you've got to start with, is he your Father? Is he your Father? Is he my Father? Have I given my life over to him? Or am I just kind of near him and occasionally he's the God at the church that I go to? Those are two very different things. He can be the God at the church that you go to. He can even be the God that you pray to sometimes, but not have any access into your life. But not be Lord over everything that you are and all that you're doing. He can be somebody near you, but not the one that's leading you. And that change is the most important change you will ever make in your life. To say, I want to go from just knowing him to following him. I don't want to just be somebody who's around him occasionally. I know some stuff about him, I want to be his daughter. I want to be his son. That means I give up control over my life. That means I stop doing things my way, and instead that I start following after his way. It's a different path to take. It's a different direction to go. I have my will, or I can follow my Father's will. As we look ahead to this year that's coming, you have that choice. He leaves us with this choice every day. Whose will are you going to follow? Who are you going to be with? Where will you be found? For Jesus, even at the age of 12, knowing that he had this sense of, this is who God has me to be. This is where I've got to go. This is what I am here for. He says, I'm going to be found where God is. I'm going to be found in my Father's business. I'm going to be found in my Father's house. And I couldn't think of a better New Year's resolution for you to walk away with. Amen. To say, in 2025, when somebody's looking for me, they're going to find me where Jesus is. They're going to find me in his house. They're going to find me doing his business. They're going to find me in his spaces. I love, we'll close with this, that regularly as Jesus, adult Jesus, since we're talking about the boy Jesus, adult Jesus, he's doing ministry. Regularly throughout the Gospels, you see him separate from everyone else. To go up on the mountain, to go to a quiet place, to go and pray, to go and receive from God. He says, day in and day out, I need my Father to speak into my life so that I can follow him well. This needs to be what characterizes each of our days, that he's the one speaking into us. And if you don't know him yet in that kind of way, we're going to close in a moment of prayer right now. And we're going to invite him in to say, Jesus, come be Lord of my life. And today, come be my Father over me. And so I want to invite you to join me in prayer, whether you're here or online. Let's pray together. Jesus, we see how much we do need you. Just even just in looking back in the past year, we can see spots where we've failed, where we've fallen short, where we've blown it, where we've just not been all that we intended to be. And thank you that you give us grace in those moments. And Lord, for those who don't yet know you in that way, pray that you'd stir their hearts even now as we pray. Maybe God's already been doing that. He's been highlighting that in you. You just have felt him at work in this time. You say, no, I've known him, but now I need him to become my Father. I've heard about him, but now I want to get to actually like be with him. And that relationship starts in a moment of prayer right now. You can pray with me and just invite him in. Say, God, I need you to be my Father. I don't want to do my own things, go my own way. I want to start to follow you. I want to be your son, your daughter, and I want you to be my Father. So I give you not just my year, I give you all of my days. And I say I'm going to follow after you. In the good moments and the bad, in the easy times and the hard, in the when things make sense and when they don't, I'm going to follow you. And I'm going to look to you to lead, to care for me, to provide grace and love. Because I see that I need you. And it's in a prayer like that, a moment like that, where he shows up. Where he says, yes, son. Yes, daughter. I'll care for you. I will pay that bill. I will take care of that problem. I will show you the unending levels of my grace and love. Father, thank you that you are so good in our lives. It's in your name that we pray, Jesus. Jesus.